Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, I gotta confess something to you as a church. So since being here the last 2 years, I've gained a little bit of weight. There's been some things I've been focused on a little bit more than my own working out. But a couple of weeks ago, I was like, you know what? I am going to do this. I have got to get back into the rhythm of working out. So we had bought an exercise bike so that I could be off my feet. If you don't know, I had hurt my heel a couple of years ago. It's hard for me to continue running on my heel because of some injuries that I had. But we bought an exercise bike. We got a fan for the garage so that it kind of cools off the garage a little bit with the exercise bike in there. I downloaded, you know, one of the calorie counting apps so that way I could count my calories, all this kind of stuff. But I've still been making excuses. You know, like right now it's, oh, well, I got to mow this morning, so I'll work out tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow, right? Or it's been, oh, it's late evenings with the girls watching movies. Okay, it's okay. The next day, I'll get it. The next day, I keep on making these excuses over. It's gotten so bad that I've decided that what I'm going to do is I'm going to wake up to this old clip by Shia LaBeouf. You know what I'm talking about? The one where he gives that motivational speech. Just do. If you haven't seen it, let's just show a clip real quick.
Do it! Just do it! Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday, you said tomorrow. So just do it! Make your dreams come true! Just do it!
Can you imagine waking up that every morning? Just do it! I think it would motivate me. Listen, here's the thing. I wonder this morning if the same thing that I'm going through physically has maybe been your life spiritually. Maybe you've made some plans. There's some things that you're like, I am going to make sure that I study God's word a little bit more this week. I'm going to do it. For us, it's always the proverbial Monday, right? I'm going to do it. Starting this Monday, I'm going to do it. Or maybe it's, I'm going to spend some more time in prayer. Or maybe it's, you know what? I'm actually going to do what I know the Lord has told me to do. I'm going to go and forgive that person. I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to reach out. Whatever it is. But for whatever reason, you keep on making excuses. You keep on not doing it. Well, this morning, as we continue in our series on James, I want us to see what God's word would say to us, me included, for those who keep on making excuses about our faith. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to James chapter 1? We'll begin reading in verse 19. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19.
My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accepted the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that our God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after our orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Thank you, sir. So as we kind of look at this passage, we see that James continues in the train of thought that he started a couple of weeks ago when we began the book of James. You remember he was encouraging the early church as they're suffering persecution, as they're undergoing the conflict of being a person who follows Jesus. And he says, hey, have a better perspective. Have an eternal mindset in those circumstances, in your trials, in your tests. Think with an eternal perspective. And then last week, we talked about how he encourages them and helps them see that when temptations do come in the midst of those tests and those trials of your life, he says, hey, here's the process that temptation takes that leads into sin. And so he helps encourage them to recognize that so they can fight against those temptations, so they can fight against their sin a little bit better. And today, we're going to see how he's showing them how to be faithful in their obedience on a daily basis. So catch it. Catch what he's doing. He goes from the big picture, the eternal perspective, then he starts talking about the spiritual battle that's inside of us, and then he goes deeply practical, and he says, here is how your day-to-day life should be lived out. And in the midst of that, as he's talking to them about their daily life, James gives them three commands regarding God's word in their daily life. So let's take a look at each of these commands. Now, we've said this before already in the series, but James is a no-nonsense kind of guy, right? He is direct at the point. He comes right at you. And that's exactly how he starts out even this particular passage that we're looking at this morning. He says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Like in my mind, I hear it this way. Listen up now, shut your mouth, and quit your sassing. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You actually understand that better than you understood James right there, right? Stop your sassing. So here's what's happening. In the early church, specifically in this church that James is writing to, these believers, they would gather together, and they were a little bit different than our gatherings, okay? Their gatherings, they would be a lot more conversational in the way that they would be being taught. There would be teaching, and there would be response. Well, what's happening is that some of these early believers are arguing with the teacher. The teacher is trying to discuss and trying to show them from the scriptures the truth of God, and they're arguing with him. And so they're talking back in the midst of this, and it's really causing some discouragement among other people because they're not understanding exactly what the teacher is trying to convey. Now, I want to say this. I believe fundamentally that any pastor, any preacher that gets up on the stage, he is accountable for his words. It's a super important thing. It's not something that anyone should take lightly. In fact, one of my favorite things is when Tim comes up here and he will pray and after he's done announcements, and he'll pray for me. And he'll say, Lord, let Pastor James' words be free of error as he communicates your word to us. And I want to say this right now. I promise you, that is my prayer. My prayer is that I understand God's word better so that I can communicate it to you in a fuller and healthier way. Like, that's what I desire more than anything. But I think that a lot of times, because of our social media culture, we kind of feel like everyone should have the right to say what they're thinking, what they want to say about particular subjects. And so we argue and talk over one another a lot of times. Most of the time, that's not coming from a place of spirit-led wisdom and obedience to God, but it's coming from a desire to be heard. And that's exactly what James is addressing right here. See, the Old Testament alongside James is full of proverbs about those who would run their mouth before they would listen. Here's one of them. One of them says, the wise are quick to listen, but the fool likes to run his mouth. Or to answer before listening, that's folly and shame. But I wouldn't give for that to kind of be on like a little form you have to fill out before you can actually download the X app. That'd be super important, right? Or one of my favorites, it's not necessarily in the scriptures, but it's a great proverb. It says, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. But the point of all these is that our first response, the first thing that we should do is seek to understand, to listen and understand any other individual. But instead, so many times we want to be quick to respond with what we think is right for their situation instead of really hearing and listening and understanding what's going on in them. we start to want to argue back. Listen, every single one of you could probably picture that person in your mind right now that does that when you get into groups, right? Like you're having this conversation and they're person trying to speak over you. They're the one arguing right back. And listen, if you can't think of that person, you're the person. Okay? But listen, some of us, we're doing that when it comes to God's word as well. Not just in our regular conversations with other people, but you're doing that when it comes to God's word. You immediately begin to respond and rebut the things that the Lord is saying to you. You begin to say, no, not that. No, I don't agree with that. Right? And here's what I want to tell you, and I just keep on reading about this, and I've been so convicted about it. We are so influenced by the cultural narratives that our world is giving us. And we're letting those cultural narratives compete and sometimes supersede the very word of God. We've got to be extremely careful about that. We have to watch ourselves on the things that we're refuting, that we're rebutting against the very word of God. We have got to be very, very careful. Because if we truly believe that the Bible is God's revelation of himself to us, and that we find how we're supposed to live this life, then we should quiet ourselves before him, and we should listen to his word. We should still ourselves, be quiet, and just listen to what he would say. Let him speak to us. And that means that we're spending as much time as we can in God's word. That we're saturated by it. We're soaked in it. We should be reading it daily. We should be listening to it regularly. We should be memorizing it. Listen, this idea of listening, being quick to listen, is difficult because James is going to go on. He's going to tell us that it's only through a heart of humility that you can actually do that. Look at what it says. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You know, over and over again in Jesus' own teaching, God himself teaching humanity, over and over again, Jesus will preface his teaching with these words, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the reason that he does this is because, as he knows, it's attested through the rest of Scripture, humanity is extremely stubborn. We don't like to humble ourselves. We don't like to sit and listen. We don't really want to know what God has to say to us. Several years ago, when I was in children's ministry, I got the incredible opportunity to preach for the first time, right? And listen, yes, it was very long. I packed a whole bunch of stuff into one message because that was the first time I got to do it, okay? But my passion then, my passion still, is helping parents to understand their role and responsibility in raising up their children to be disciples of Jesus Christ. I care deeply about that. And one of the things that I said in the middle of that message was I talked about the importance of husbands and wives and making their relationship a priority within their family, that their children were going to see that, that God actually set it up that way, that they would look to their parents as being foundational for the rest of the family, and their relationship defined the rest of the relationship for the family. Well, one mom came to me, and she was extremely upset. She's like, how dare you say that the relationship I have with my husband is of greater importance than the relationship I have with my child? I said, this is just what the scriptures say. She did not like that at all. She was not about that at all. But here's the thing. It wasn't that she didn't listen. It's that she did not want to hear what I had to say. She did not want to hear what I had to say. Maybe some of you have felt that very same way. Maybe you come in here on a Sunday morning and you don't like something that I've said. Or maybe you've been a part of a small group and the teacher's leading and you're like, I don't like what they have to say. Listen, there are times I don't like what the Word of God has to say. There's some times where I'm challenged by it. But here's the thing. God didn't ask me my opinion. He's not that shallow. He's not that, you know, oh, I got to have, is it okay? Is it okay if I say this? He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't do that. Instead, the question that I need to ask is I need to say, am I submitting myself to God's word? Or am I just going to choose to do what I want to do? That's the only real question that there is. Now, our culture, it continues to tell us that the Bible has antiquated values. It's not relevant anymore. Or you might hear the argument sometimes where people are like, well, which part are you going to follow? Because there's some Old Testament laws that, you know, the church says, hey, this isn't relevant to us anymore, right beside some other Old Testament laws that the church is like, this is relevant, so which one matters? Listen, the only reason that people do that is because they are trying to destroy the authority of God's word in our lives. That's the only reason they make those kind of arguments. And let me say something. Two things I want to say to this. First of all, most of the time, those people have not read the Bible in its entirety. They're picking and choosing things that they want to defend the way that they think about something over the truth of God. And here's the second thing. If you are a follower of Jesus, you don't get to decide. You don't get to decide if you're going to listen to the Bible or not. We align ourselves with the Bible, not the other way around. God doesn't align himself with us. We align ourselves with the Word of God. Listen, I want to give you a challenge on that right here. To really accept the Word of God. To really accept his word. That's what he says. Accept the word that's been planted in you. And here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you. If you're taking notes this morning, sometime during the week, take those notes out, look over them, read through them again, read through the passages that we discussed today. Even some of the supporting passages, go and find those, some of those Proverbs, and look over them. And let God's word dwell in you. Let it richly develop in you. If you're not taking notes, well, shame on you. You should be taking notes, okay, first of all. Second of all is go and listen to the message again online. Go listen to it. Let God's word be planted in you richly. This is what it means. This is what accepting God's word looks like. But it's different than just shutting your mouth. I want you to hear me say that. Accepting God's word is different than just listening to God's word. Because in accepting God's word, you're starting to do something with yourself. You're starting to be honest about yourself. You're starting to be honest with who you really are, your own sinful behaviors and patterns. Look at this. Right before he's instructing these believers to accept God's word, he says this, get rid of all moral filth. The Greek for this is the idea that somebody has these soiled garments. They're wearing soiled robes, and they recognize that they're soiled, and they're dirty, and they're nasty. And they take those off, and they put on clean robes. That's what he's saying. Remove all the filth. And they put on these clean robes. That's what it means to accept God's word. It's seeing yourself for what you really are. You're sinful. You're dirty. You're messed up. You're broken. And it's agreeing with God. And here's how this works. This is the process. It's questioning the areas in your life that you see are not lining up with God's truth. Am I really being a person that's kind? Am I really being a person that's honest? Am I really being a person that's broken? And where those places don't line up with the truth of God, then that's when you begin to invite God's Spirit to move in your life and say, God, change me. God, change me. Make me those things. Put the new garment on me, Jesus. And then finally, you obey the word. You obey what God says. And this is James's last point. He says, obey the word. Obey what God says. When I was younger and growing up in the church, the Sunday school teachers had a song that they would sing. And maybe you guys know it too. It was called Obedience. You remember this song? And it said this, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. I love that first line. I love that. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Listen, doing what the Lord asks us to do proves our faith. Doing what he asks us to do proves our faith. You know what the word Christian actually means? It means little Christs. So Christian means little Christ. It was actually originally used as an insult to the church. you little Christs. But here's why it was the insult. Because they were doing what Jesus did. They looked so much like Jesus. They were loving their neighbors. They were caring for the poor. They were forgiving their enemies. The people started making fun of them. You little Christs. But all they were doing was being obedient to Jesus, following and doing exactly what he had told them to do. In fact, James says later, he talks about it. He calls it pure religion. That's what he says. And that's exactly what you and I should be doing as well. Following in step with Jesus, doing what Jesus did, being obedient to what he asks us to do, welcoming strangers, caring for the poor, forgiving those who offend us, speaking encouragement over others. All of these things are things that we're supposed to be doing, showing kindness and grace, even to those who do not deserve it from us because of the way they've treated us. But how many times do we make excuses? How many times do we make excuses? Something like this. Well, you should have seen the way he treated me at the baseball game. Man, he totally offended me. He said all sorts of mean things. He called me every name in the book, Pastor James. I have every right to go on social media and tell him how I feel. Or maybe it's this. Well, I can't really afford to give right now. I mean, have you seen the price of eggs? It's ridiculous. I can't afford to give anything right now. Or maybe it's this. We're getting married eventually, so it's okay for us to sleep together. Listen, two times in these few verses, James talks about the person who deceives themselves. Literally, they're lying to themselves about who they are. First, he says, those who hear the word of God and don't do it are deceiving themselves. They're lying to themselves about who they really are. Second, he says, those who cannot control their mouth and what they say, that they're deceiving themselves. They're lying to themselves. Listen, some of us in here, we are deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. You think that coming on Sunday morning, coming into this building, giving God what he wants, that you're here, check, it's all good. Walk out that door, do what you want to do. That isn't what it means to be Christian. That doesn't mean what it means to be a little Christ. To be a little Christ means you're submitted to what God desires and what he wants you to do. But some of us think we're just giving God what he wants on Sunday, and then I get to do whatever I want the rest of the week. Don't deceive yourself. Deceive yourself. God could care less about your Sunday feels. What he desires is your obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than all the worship that we could give God. Obedience is what God desires. And James says it this way, don't merely listen to the word. Do what it says. One last thing I want you to see from this passage. Right in the middle of this section of James's letter, he gives us a really incredible metaphor about a mirror. He talks about the two different types of people who looks at the mirror and walks away, forgetting completely that their clothes are soiled, that their hair is disheveled. Who looks in the mirror, and the scripture says, James says, they look at the perfect law. Paul says the royal law. They look at it and they walk away and obey. That perfect law, the royal law, is love. Is love. But it's not just any type of love. It's the love that Jesus demonstrates for us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And unless you understand that love, the love that Jesus Christ died for your sin and that he rose again to give you new life so that you could obey God, you're never going to be able to obey God. If you don't understand, if you've never trusted in what Jesus has done for you, you're never going to be able to obey God. And this morning, if you've not done that and you feel the Lord prodding your heart, I want to encourage you. Pastor Ronald and I are going to be right around. Please, we would love you to talk to us about that. We want you to come and to speak with us about that because we want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that you can obey and live and walk in his spirit. It's so important to us. Listen, for the rest of us, you have trusted, you believed in what Jesus has done. But you keep on telling yourself over and over again, well, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to do it. I'll do what he says. I promise I will. But you keep on missing it. You keep on missing it. You keep on not doing it. James tells you this morning, do it. Just do it. Just be obedient. You have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, empowering you to be obedient to his word. So this morning, I pray, I plead for you, church. Just do it. Just do it. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I think of the old confession where it says that we have failed to be an obedient church, that we've not loved you with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind and strength, and that we failed to love our neighbors as ourselves. Father, for those of us who are feeling the weight of conviction from your word this morning in James, would you forgive us? Forgive us where we've been disobedient, where we've made excuses on being obedient. And would you empower us with your spirit right now in this moment that we might walk and do what you desire for us to do, keeping in step with your spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message, or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.